Hello and welcome to Intertextual Experience, where to wrap up the year or bring in the new year, it's just you and me. So this one is going to be really quick, and I know that because hey, I'm going to go back and edit in the length of the episode, which you could technically see in the show description slash podcast player. When you see this anyway, but I know it's going to be short. I will insert that time with that edited clip in right now.
About 30 minutes. Not bad.
But yeah, I actually did that thing where I rambled for a really long time for the sake of this particular episode, and it just wasn't like what I wanted. And I did want it to be quick. I always feel like I'm very self-conscious of these solo episodes because they're really not what the show is in a sense, but I do think they serve as a good kind of like designer diary of sort and process sifter and everything along those lines. So I kind of want to get what's out on my mind, but I can go through the general checklist, five super quick things. First off, we're going to start with a thank you. Secondly, is going to be a state of the show. Three is going to be talking about just three video games that were new to me this year. Four is going to be my second favorite new to me board game of the year. And finally, for that fifth bit, there's going to be a board game giveaway bonanza. Basically, it's just going to be a board game giveaway of the game Bonanza in Shrink. Brand new if you do not own it and you want it. Stick around for the end for the instructions on that. Part of the reason that I am redoing this as well, and maybe it's going to be a little paused or weird vocals in this, but I'm really hoping that I'm a little bit better. But I've mentioned in the past, and as recently as last episode, that my wife works for a local nonprofit land conservancy. And I sometimes do some work and help out. And we were just doing some brush pile burning of buckthorn yesterday. And I, even though I run a bunch, well, not even though I run a bunch, I have kind of junky lungs. So certain things trigger asthmatic responses. And I was trying to talk through this episode yesterday and I was getting like really kind of hacky and coughy. So yeah, I probably will have to take a couple pauses here and let my breath reset because sometimes I just get like super out of breath because of it to the point where I just the words don't come out. So that's really exciting. So the brush pile burning and that type of work I absolutely love, but my lungs sometimes do not love it as much. So that's another part of the redo as well. Already clipping along faster than last episode too. But I do want to start off with that. Thanks. If you're listening to this right now, I think there's just going to be a few fun things in this very brief episode. Furthermore, if you're listening now, you're going to hear that the next episode will be coming out in about 2 weeks, I think. Mid-January, have an interview scheduled very soon, and I think that is going to be starting out the new year in the best way possible. It's a really awesome one. Obviously, it hasn't happened yet, but I know it's an awesome guest, and I'm really excited for what is in store there. So, yes, thank you. Thank you so much for, listening this year. And I've gotten messages, I've chatted with people who listen to the show, and the show is what it is because of the amazing guests, and it is also the show because you're listening to it as well. If you enjoy it, enjoy any episodes, and you know somebody in your life who would like them, I always just ask to you share the show, share a particular episode, anything along those lines, and if you could, don't even have to write a review. Review would be awesome. I'd love to see a nice review, but if you just want to drop a rating into whatever listening platform you have, that would also be greatly appreciate it. So yeah, I just really happy with everything and wanted to thank anybody who is listening in general and especially listening to the Just Me episodes for that. So speaking of that, the state of the show already to that. There have been 12, I'm kind of saying 13 for the year because I really just wanted to have more than the 1 month on average. I had Daniel Newman on last year at the very end of 2024, so I'm kind of lumping that one into my 2025 episodes. My initial goal with the show is bi-weekly. I knew that was pretty lofty. I knew that was audacious. Just with scheduling, prepping, doing the after work and everything like that. I in my previous couple of Just Me episodes, I've talked about some of the things I'm doing with the show notes, and I take more time with that. And I guess just thinking about the experiential and experimental nature of this, part of the experiential ness of this, which I don't know if it's necessarily the best word, but I think it makes sense to me in the way that I've contextualized what the show is doing is it allows for flexibility. I think each episode really pushes for, the free-flowing responses of the particular guests, and also the shows sometimes dovetail into each other where one guest will lead to another guest. I had Ruel Gaviola on the show again, and that was because I'd seen him at Gen Con over the summer, knew he loved baseball, and our teams were playing against each other in the playoffs. It wasn't a particularly great series for the MLB, but I figured, hey, this would be a really awesome opportunity to chat about board games and baseball with a huge baseball fan. And just things of that nature, I think, really kind of fallen into place in an awesome way. The core of and heart of what I want the show to be is beating strong. The only thing is just a little bit less frequently than I would want, but I think the not the acceptance of failure, because I don't think it's a failure, but just the acceptance of reality of the way that things going, scheduling, some of the multiple jobs and weird things going on over here, but not necessarily in a bad way. Just going with that flow, knowing that I've maybe played a little less new things or a little less new things from other designers that I might want to talk to has been 2025 in a sense as well. I think my board game playing, which we'll kind of get to in a minute here, has been pretty steady, pretty strong. Out of my few hobbies, the two things that I'm going to talk about here are going to be video games for a second and board games very, very briefly. Running has been my number one thing outside of life, work, family, balance that I've really been 100% consistent on. Video games have been decent. I feel that they've been decent due to the fact that I've played a little bit more of them lately, and I'm like, oh, I'm playing video games again. But I know that the year is actually pretty down for me for that overall. But board games have been strong. Just haven't played a ton of some of the, like I said, maybe bigger games. I have this table sitting next to me where I like to set up solo games and leave out, and I've cleaned it off like two or three times in the last 2 or 3 months, and it gets messy the very next second. So I ultimately just don't get the board games up on that then. That's a me problem with that. But yeah, just a lot of my solo plays have been in that 10 to 30-ish minute range, which has even kicked out things like Marvel Champions. I feel Marvel Champions, especially if I need a little bit of a reminder or, sorting through the cards, 40-ish minutes to an hour. And I know if I played it more, it'd be a little bit quicker than two. But yeah, that's just kind of where we're at. But a lot of good things have happened this year on the whole, and I just excited, super excited about all of my guests from 2025. Every single one of these episodes, and I think every single one of the episodes in previous years are what I wanted them to be. And for that, I really couldn't be happier. So, again, the mild lamentations that there were fewer, and that's just because that means that I'm playing a little bit less of awesome people's games, and that just means that I'm talking to awesome people a little bit less than I would like. That's really about it. No real issues, nothing bad going on, just life. Okay, three video games. So, two new to me video games that also happen to be from 2025 that I really liked were both Mega Bonk and Ball X Pit. I like the former, Mega Bonk a little bit more, maybe even more than a little bit more. And I'll kind of give a brief why right now, but it is an idea that I do actually want to explore more. And when I talk about my second favorite new to me board game of the year, hopefully I will be chatting about some things that are coming outside of just the audio podcast that I've been putting off a little bit as well. But I do want to chat about it in a potentially longer form. And I think with Mega Bonk, for me, the obvious mashup, well, for me, the mashup is the obvious, and that it is a Vampire Survivors-like type of game. I really haven't done a ton of the Survivors-like things. I played Vampire Survivors a bit, kind of fell away from it while I was actually in the middle of playing it. I just knew that I was kind of falling out of my initial enjoyment of it in that middle chunk of me playing it, and then I just stopped straight up, haven't touched it in quite some time. I definitely see the appeal. I played it enough, even after I was kind of over it, if that makes sense. But yeah, I haven't tried it at many of these other ones that have come out after that, and the fact that I've two here that are kind of in that vein with Mega Bonk and Ball X Pit. But to me, Mega Bonk has kind of that Vampire Survivors like stuff, and I think the one that, I don't know, I'm not sure if I've seen it, and I haven't really looked into the game a ton, is just this Mario 64 feeling mixed with just insane physics of what can happen based on your build. So the ability to jump and the ability to slide, and the fact that it's in 3D, and also in the fact that it's in 3D, and I've really been leaning 2D a ton as of the past few years. But I like the fact that this is 3D. I don't know. Very, very interesting stuff that I want to dig into more. Ball X Pit suffers in my mind for some of the reasons that, the builds and the doomed or non-doomed slash success nature of a run that happens in Vampire Survivors, where you can just kind of get whapped upside the head and you don't necessarily see it coming. I don't know. There's definitely skill in both of them, Ball X Pit and Vampire Survivors, but I think there's maybe a feeling where agency isn't on your side at times. But really, really liking Ball X Pit. I keep playing it. I'm trying to find out ways for me to be better. So maybe it is just a skill thing. Honestly, at this point, I don't think I'm particularly good at it yet. But the meta progression with the base building, the aesthetics, the graphic, the music, I'm a big fan of it. And I'm going to link this because I don't know. I know that I'm not the most in tune with video games. I look at them quite a bit, but I'm not an expert. I was looking at the Steam kind of best of 2025, so new release top sellers, most played in Steam Deck. And I knew that Mega Bonk is pretty popular. I found it. It's not like I'm unearthing these wild hidden gems or anything. I definitely tend to look in indie scenes more than I do AAA. And that's not out of a dislike of AAA stuff or trying to be, hip to the point where I don't play it. I just, honestly, I play a lot of my games on Steam Deck. And I think that the visual look of 2D smaller non-3D things usually is easier to track and gives me less of a headache, and also doesn't have quite the amount of like time needed in order to enjoy it. I don't need to put in a 100 hours to enjoy a game, things of that nature. But clicking on the Steam Deck one, Mega Bonk is in that gold category in the 13th to 24th, sorted randomly, most played Steam Deck games. So that's definitely more than I expected. It's in the bronze category for most played overall, so that's 50 to 100. But the fact that it was in gold, again, I knew I wasn't on the cutting edge of finding indie games because I'd looked in, I saw that this game was pretty popular, but the fact that it was so high there and doesn't really pop. I don't, maybe it's in bronze for new releases overall, but I don't know if it's in top sellers overall. I don't think it is because I was clicking through that and I saw that. So yeah, I don't know. I want to talk about the game more, the genre more. It's one that really fascinates me quite a bit. But these are two games that I've been playing recently. I like them quite a bit. They're both from 2025, so look at me. I am staying fresh up on the new releases. But as of right now, my favorite new to me in 2025 video game is a game that actually had a sequel that came out in 2025. And that isn't Silksong, but that's because I haven't played Silksong, and I technically haven't beaten Hollow Knight despite playing it quite a bit. Is Monster Train. So Monster Train was new to me this year. Monster Train 2 is out, and I haven't played it because I still want to be playing Monster Train a little bit more. But I think this is a really great segue. Speaking of genres and ideas that I want to dive into more, that crossover from, video game mechanics into board making. Game mechanics is an interesting one, but then also having something as big as video games pulling from board games in, Slay the Spire, grabbing that deck building and having that be a very popular genre as of late. I don't know why. I kind of not looked into Monster Train sooner. To be fair, I really only started playing Slay the Spire last year. I'm pretty sure late 2023 at the absolute earliest, but I'm pretty sure that was a new to me 2024 game. I played that a lot, and I actually I'm going to come out and say it, and I know that again, not the most out there opinion. I'd say most people do like Slay the Spire more, but I'm in that Monster Train more camp, I guess. But really like it. I mean, I really like Slay the Spire, and these type of games have that board game overlap, which is a fantastic transition into the final thing. And that is my second favorite new to me board game of the year. And then also another small award for a game that I've only played once, but I know would be in my top three, potentially even top one of the year if I played it a little bit more. So we'll start with that one, and that is the game, the special award of game that I need to play more. And this the award for this category last year was Arx, and I still haven't returned to Arx. I played it my once, really loved it, but also didn't feel like I wrapped my head around everything. And that's what this game falls into as well, and that is Eternal Dex. A pretty limited release at this point in time. I technically played a copy that wasn't my own, and I now have a copy. I'm pointing to it. You can't see it. And I need to get that out ASAP. A fantastic game. Striking visuals. I think so many people who played it are just beyond enamored with it. And that was me. First play, same thing. I've always liked co-ops. I think I'm kind of wanting to explore them even more, and with games like The Crew, Sky Team, and other ones along those lines, games that have limited communication in their co-ops are tricky to pull off. It's I would say that they're having not a moment because I think they're coming out in a way that's people are continuing to like them, and I don't see that going away anytime soon, but I just think that it's a hard tightrope to balance getting people to play games and cooperate with each other, but eliminating one of the things that makes board games so great, and that is the talking and the socialization. So games that are able to do it, such as Eternal Decks, and make you want to keep coming back to it is a very great thing. So I want to keep playing that more. But my second favorite new to me board game of the year, and I think like everything here, I just kind of want to save words for future episodes, future guest episodes, future videos. I kind of have some big goals for 2026. I've been mentioning that I wanted to do more video related work, and I think I'm starting to finally see the vision for that. Whereas with the podcast, you know, it is an interview-based podcast, which isn't the most out there thing, but I think some of the things that I'm trying to do with it are a little bit different. And if I were to do video work, I know that it's just me, and that's kind of scary. That's like one of the biggest things that has put me like off from it. But I think I finally see the way that I want to do some of these videos and have them be different. I've never wanted to be a review channel, really, or in the traditional sense of checking out 100 brand new games for the year and trying to stay up on them and rank them and everything like that. So I kind of want to like just dive into a game that I really like and what it has me thinking about. So like at this and at that, and that's what I think the show is doing with the guests. So I want to be able to translate that to some video work as well. But so yeah, when I keep saying I feel like a broken record, like, oh yeah, I want to get into this more. And I feel like in the past times when I've done these solo episodes and I've said things that I want to talk about, I actually have, for the most part, explored them in other avenues, and those avenues have been guest episodes. But well, I think that's going to happen here. I think that it's going to be that and other stuff. So that's exciting stuff. But without further ado, my second favorite new to me board game of the year is Hot Streak. Only played it twice. That's honestly probably the funniest note here is where I said with Eternal Decks that I can't really place it after the one. I feel like even after my first play of Hot Streak, I would not have placed it this highly. I know that people were loving it, so maybe in my mind I was setting too high of expectations. I know that I love everything that John Perry makes. I was super excited to play this one in that episode that I had with John a bit back before this was really announced. He kind of alluded to it as well, which is a fun tie-in for any listeners of that episode and myself, and then seeing Hot Streak come out. It was far enough in development where he could talk about the game without actually saying what the game was or anything along those lines. But I guess, I don't know, a minor sneak peek of sorts in that episode at what would become really one of the hottest games of 2025. So it's not a super bold pick on my part, but it did take my second play just to see it with a different group, just to have my head wrapped around some of the things that I was just, you know, like rules things, I guess. I didn't fully internalize it, because I'd been taught it, so I didn't read the rules, and then I read the rules afterwards. I'm like, okay, that makes more sense. I'm excited to play it again with these things making a little more sense. And then I was able to teach it, and then even the first play was elevated because of that as well. Really want to keep playing it. Obviously, two times is not enough in my mind, but that's really about it for now. On that. Speaking of plays, I just kind of talked about the fact that I, in video games and in board games, you know, I'm not necessarily chasing the hotness or anything, but I do want to keep up on, you know, new things. A lot of the new things that I keep up on are from people that I've already talked to. I want to continue supporting people who have been on the show. Sometimes maybe to continue talking to them in the future, but that's not like the main goal. I also want to be able to support other creators and other people that I want to talk to in the future as well. But I'm going to be including my 2025 plays. It's a little convoluted, and the long and the short of it is I more or less stopped logging my Board Game Arena plays on BoardGameGeek. I was previous episodes of Board Game Arena, me just talking about that. I went into the whole thing, but I think I'm going to stop for the most part. I think I'm maybe there's one or two games that I'll log for personal reasons on Board Game Geek that I log on that I've played on Board Game Arena. But on the whole, I've found just kind of the searchable plays where you can get the calendar view or you can click the calendar range of your Board Game Arena plays. So that is the second page of my spreadsheet. And I think it's nice then that I can see that, hey, I played 501 games on Board Game Arena this year. If I go to my logged on BGG plays for the year, there's 326. I know I'm missing some. I did a pretty bad job of just missing chunks of times of games that I played where I go back and I look and be like, oh, what the heck? Like, I know that I played this game before and I can actually like have pictures of it, or I know that it was this weekend with these friends or this event. Like, I just didn't log it. Or I'm like, yeah, I haven't had any logged plays of this, whatever it might be. But I think just kind of eschewing the BGA plays on the whole, having them exist, and I don't have to like worry, and then I can just log the games that I'm playing physically, non-digitally. And then I can kind of see and break down the numbers in different ways in different years. But basically, like I said, 501 Board Game Arena only plays, and then my BGG log plays were at 326. But as if you could see, I did make notes that a chunk of these were all on BGA. So let's just say 80, 70, 80, 250 physical plays. A good chunk of new to me games, quite the long list that you'll see, and a decent amount of 2025 releases. Nothing crazy. I feel like when I was looking for a lot of these games, I felt like that number was going to be double, but I think a lot of those games were just late 2024 releases or things that like were deemed 2024 that were really early 2025, just depending on distribution and everything like that. So, let's say if I played 80 to 90 new to me games between Board Game Arena and in my life, Hot Streak being at number two is quite the feat. And the game, which is actually more of a hot take, which is my favorite new to me game, will be getting some hopeful video coverage. I just have to get myself over that little hold up, that bump, and start doing it. Which I took me a long time to have to get over that bump with this podcast as well. And I'm so happy that I finally just did it and started talking to people who I wanted to hear their stories and talk about their games and their work and everything like that. So I know that there is good coming from me getting over these hurdles. I just hope that when it's the just me stuff, which I know the audio version of it is going to be less interesting than the video stuff, and I have to keep telling myself that these are things that will be enriching or interesting to you all. So, okay, I feel like things have been clipping along all right, a little more verbose than intended, but definitely better than the last one. We're to the end. All right, board game giveaway of the game Bonanza. Basically, this is really only going to be for US only listeners. So if you are a non-US listener, basically you kind of have like a potential to win something. Maybe I could send you a gift card to a local game store or something like that, which would then wind up having like two winners. So I'm going back to the Google form, so make sure you are checking out the show notes. These show notes are going to be much less in-depth or cool than the ones that I make for the guests, but I don't really need to say anything. This note or this episode is kind of like the show notes for itself, the show notes section of that past episode that I had. Google form, I think I'm going back to that. That had better success or more people doing it than the emails. Basically, the only thing I really want is, if you have, there's going to be optional feedback on the show itself. Maybe people that you think people are kind of topics in which I could find people to talk to. I know that's not really like topics based podcast, but like if you are really interested in, like micro games or co-op stuff or whatever that might be that you feel like hasn't been like explored a ton, like then I could maybe think about creators who I'd want to talk to about that, if that makes sense. So things along those lines. But then basically I just want to know what your favorite new to you 2025 game is. A lot of the games I've been talking about are 2025 releases, which is kind of funny, but I really just think about my games of the year or things that are of the year for me within like, are they new to me? So, maybe in 2026, my favorite new to me 2026 game is a 2016 game, So that's about it. So, again, happy New Year. Thank you so much. I think most of the things that I wanted to say and or at least leave open-ended enough to where if I want to talk about them in the future, they have those possibilities. It's there, it's here, and I'm really looking forward to what 2026 brings about in a whole bunch of different capacities, starting off with an awesome guest that you will be hearing in just a couple weeks. So thank you and goodbye.
Intertextual Experience, the most
What's a New Year's resolution?
podcast about board games and any other text that they connect to. Thank you so much for spending your time here. Your support through listening to this podcast means everything to the show's success. If you enjoyed the project, consider giving us a rating or review and sharing it with any other people in your life you would feel would like it as well. Any further support, such as sending an email to say, hey, following some of the show's social media accounts, or contributing any monetary support to help pay for some necessary subscriptions would be greatly appreciated. All of that information can be found in the show notes. Until next time, keep playing, watching, reading, listening, experiencing.